today. Praise you, Jesus.
If you have your Bibles with you this afternoon, let's open up to today. This is a great word that we just got done singing about. How great is His Word? Amen. Holds my whole life together, brother, sister. This Word of God. Revelations chapter 2. As we started on Wednesday night on Satan's Eden. And I'm not surprised. Satan's going to definitely keep people from hearing this, if he can. Right. Anybody here Wednesday night, man, I don't know, I just exposing the devil, and I just love it. I love exposing him. Actually, Revelations 3. I just realized I wrote the wrong thing here. It's Revelations 3. Nope, I'm lying to you again. I'm sorry. That makes up for earlier. Yeah. Revelations 2. Just one off. I'll give you that, sis. You just one off. Revelations 2, verse 12. Preaching on Satan's Eden and how Satan has been given this time, as we understand the message, to create his own Eden, an Eden full of sin and complex and doubt and all these terrible things that we all know are in the world today. So God gave us His Word to prepare us for this, and not only prepare it, but to live through it, and not just to live through it, but to overcome it. And I thank God for His Word today. I thank God for this message. Otherwise, man, we'd be in a whole lot of trouble. That's right. Hallelujah. But I'm going to see, Satan's going to fight you for this, brother, sister. I'm going to tell you right now, if you've ever been spiritually minded, this is the series to do that. Satan's, and I'm going to expose him, but if you're not in the right train of thought, he'll take what's said and turn it against you. Mm-hmm. And he does it every time, and I'll get to that a little bit here. I'm prefacing this for a reason, that you need to be in the Spirit to understand spiritual things. Amen. If you get all your doctrine up here, I don't care how much you know the message, how much you know your Bible, Satan will get a hold of it and he's going to turn it against you. That's right. And the same word that was sent to save you will end up destroying you. But we've been given the Spirit of God that's given us a revelation that takes the Word and uses it in its right way. And it defeats the devil on every side. Amen. That's what we come believing today. Amen. Revelations chapter 2, verse 12. And the angel of the church of Pergamos write these things, saith he which has the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, whom was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling stone before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear. The Spirit saith unto the churches, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And I want to turn one verse, 1 Timothy, in chapter 4. Just the first verse there. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressively that in the latter times shall some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I'd like to preach today on the devil's doctrine, and for a little bit more specific, this service, Balaam's doctrine. Balaam's doctrine. Let's bow our heads before the Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Knowing that His Spirit's here with every head bowed, and I trust your heart as well. Is there a need you'd like to lift up to Him? Say, Father, you know what's behind this hand, Lord, and I want you to be glorified. And I'm asking, Lord, as you said, if I asked, I would receive. Hallelujah. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for being here today. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, and that you're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're still the overcomer. And we come believing you that all things truly are possible. And I pray you that knows the thoughts and intents of the heart, You'll discern every heart that's here and break every yoke of the enemy, Lord, and bring glory and honor unto your name. May you hear the heart's cry of the people and give them the needs that they have today. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings. Help us once again to serve you in righteousness. May the Holy Spirit equip each one with a fresh pouring of the Spirit of God to be able to tackle the challenges of the hour. Speak through my lips, Father, the words of life. But may every heart be ready, seasoned, tilled, to receive the word, and may it bring forth fruit to your name. Commit the service into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated today. Hallelujah. I don't know if I can ever say this enough. The more I live in this time, the more I see what's going on in the world, the more everything just looks like it's falling apart and you just don't have a surety of anything. I can't thank God enough for giving me this message, brother, sister. Amen. This has been such a revelation, and you never really know the weight of it until you get past doctrine, until you get past just timetables and charts and things like that, and you get to the reality of this is the one true living God. This is the one that created the world. This is the one that made the cosmos. And he's come down and he's met me in my house and talked to me. Hallelujah. Oh, we're going to make me preach all by myself today. Come on now. I know we're maybe a little bit lower in numbers, but one is still worth more than 10,000 worlds. That's right. And as long as you've got a voice, you ought to use it for the Lord. So praise the Lord for that. In 1 Timothy 4, he says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressively." Which means that the Spirit was emphasizing something that at the latter times, which I believe everyone here believes we're at the end time, we're at the last days, that some would depart from the faith. So what does that mean? They used to be in the faith, but they've departed from it. These aren't people already on the outside all the time. These are those that were into the camp and believed what they thought was the faith, but then they gave heed. It means they just had a tickling ear for something that sounded a little bit better. They just had an idea of, well, I know this is true, but what about this? What about this idea? What about this feeling? What about this little doctrine that somebody's come up with? And he said they would give themselves to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, when we went through Revelation 2 on Wednesday night, I showed you that Satan's seat in the natural was in Rome. It went to Pergamos due to the history back there and wars and things of that sort and traveling of the history and of the knowledge of people at that time. It went to Pergamos, and that's where Antipas was killed. And that's where the devil established his headquarters on the earth. And it runs through the Catholic Church. No matter what politics happens in this world, don't you never doubt it. Russia's not in control of it. China's not in control of it. We're not in control of it. No nation's in control of it. The Catholic Church is in control of the whole thing. They're pulling every string, every nation, every direction. And without a message, we'd be deceived just like the rest of the world. But praise God, we've got sight to see what's really going on in this hour. Don't get wrapped up into politics, brother, sister. That's one of the devil's main tactics, to get a church wrapped up, not just even natural politics, but it won't stop there. That spirit will come right into a church and it'll begin to move things by politics, by popularity, by numbers, and by what people have reason in their head, and not knowing the whole time that's a doctrine of the devil. Yes, amen. Amen. When we went and through and saw Satan's seat, we understand that Satan's seat, when it comes to an individual believer, is he's allowed to sit in your mind and allowed to give you thoughts and allowed to try to turn you away from the Word of God. And God placed him there to test your faith. Amen. God placed him there to test your love for him. He's not going to take him away. Whoo, glory. Everybody wants the devil just to cower in a corner somewhere. And when God delivers you, that means you ain't never going to deal with him no more. That's how most people view deliverance. That's why I never get delivered. Deliverance isn't that he leaves. Deliverance is you ain't scared of him because you can whip him. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. You can look it right in the face and say, "Satan, it don't even bother me. Get out of the way." Amen. If you're trying to avoid sin, you're in the wrong. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go, brother, sister? Where are you going to eat? You can't get food nowhere without there being sin there. You brothers know that. There ain't nowhere you can go where people dress holy and look like Christians. It just don't exist no more. And I'd say we're the best nation left on the earth, but still, it's this bad here. It's like saying, what's the best kind of vomit? It's just bad. It don't matter how good it is. It's still what it is. It's bad. And the world is so corrupt right now, brother, sister, amen, that it's just so hard to even get anything good out of anything anymore. But I thank God that there's one place a Christian can go to get satisfaction. There's one place a Christian can go to where they know everything they eat is going to be good for them. And that's the Word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many loves the Lord today? Amen. Satan's seat, as we know in the natural and even into the spiritual, please listen to Wednesday night. I know a lot of times people miss church and they'll tell me they're going to listen. I'm sorry. I don't try to catch you, but when I upload sermons, it tells me if you've listened or not. So don't tell me that unless you're going to listen, but I will challenge you to go listen to the Wednesday night and see how Satan tries to not only, he starts in your mind, but what is he really trying to do is to press into your affections, to press into your emotions, try to get you to love evil again. When God has delivered us from that, what does Satan do? He'll kind of coax it around. I'm going to show you, it's the doctrine of Balaam, and get you an idea that you could still be a Christian and be what you used to be. And at first, you turn him down because you said, no, I remember what I was like out in the world. You get on fire for God and you've got something to burn the devil out. But after time, Satan just edges it in one day at a time. Well, this ain't too bad. And us Christians, you know, we get convicted. We say, well, I'll just take a little step and hey, no lightning fell. Hey, I'm still alive. I guess this is okay. You already got told in your heart not to do the thing. Go back. Whew, y'all gonna be quiet on me, but I'm telling you, that's the truth. And if you're living in sin, I'm gonna tell you, you did that years ago. Because now you've got all the way to where you can live right in sin and act like you're just like a Christian like anybody else. But you know in your heart, something ain't right.
Right, amen.
Hallelujah. Let's go back. Let's find where Satan started his doctrine, because what is Satan trying to do? As I said, this whole title of this series is Satan's Eden. Satan is trying to create his own world that he's the head of. And it is a reflection of God's Word, but the only difference is instead of being built in righteousness, it's built in sin. But when it's all done, it's going to look very similar to what God did, structured the same way, still have certain rules and orders. But when it's all said and done, he wants to be head honcho. That's all he cares about. And in order to establish an Eden, he's got to establish a church. In order to establish a church, he's got to establish a doctrine for that church to stand on. Whew, glory. So let's go back to Genesis 3. And I want to show you how the devil starts his doctrines. Praise God. Genesis 3, I think we can find that pretty quick toward the beginning. That's usually the one book of the Bible some people read. Because then they run out of steam and then, you know, can't get through Exodus and things. But hallelujah. I don't know. When I started serving the Lord, brother, sister, I don't understand this can't read the Bible thing. I don't understand this not listening to the tapes and wanting to sing praises. It just shows to me that you just got religious. You didn't get in love yet. Because when you get in love, the Word of God is the one place where, that's what I'm saying, I can read it and I don't have to sit here and wonder, is this true or not? It's all true.
It is,
hallelujah. I don't have to worry about, should I read it or not? Of course I ought to read it. I don't need to filter none of this out. This has already done been filtered. It is the filter. They keep sin out. Hallelujah. And we'll go back to where Satan started. And as I've said on Wednesday night as well, if you can find where he starts, then you can defeat him there. And it don't matter what he did after that. You done took out the legs under his table. Amen. And that's what I want to do today, brother, sister. And that includes myself. I want to get to the point where the devil don't even have a leg to stand on. Where he can't even tempt me no matter what happens, because I done took it out by faith. And I'm delivered to the point where Satan brings it every day. It doesn't matter. I don't want it anymore. My affections have been set on things above, and there's nothing you can do to bring it down. Hallelujah. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So Satan begins to try to start his church. Remember, this is why he came here. He came here because he couldn't start his own. He had to take God's and manipulate it. He couldn't start with his own doctrine. He didn't even say, have I said? He said, yea, hath God said. So where does Satan start his church at? Is on the Word of God. Whoo, glory. We look for him to come in some sinful thing we can identify right away. But that's not how he starts it off. He starts it off in the Word of God. And he's trying to keep you from it right now. I'm going to tell you that right now. You might not believe me, but Satan's trying all he can to keep you from hearing today. He's more subtle than any beast. He starts with the Word of God. He starts building his doctrine from Scripture because he can't create his own. And when you begin to realize that you have a creative power that the devil doesn't know anything about, it doesn't matter what Satan does, you can create while he cannot. And if he can't create, that means he can't really destroy. Glory, because the only one that can destroy is that can create. Oh, glory. Just like when Jesus said, he said, don't fear man that can hurt your body and that's it. He said, but fear him that can destroy the soul in hell. And many people think he's saying fear the devil. He's not saying fear the devil. He's saying fear God. Because God's the one that can actually destroy the soul. The devil can't do anything. The devil couldn't even come up with his own doctrine. He had to steal it from God. Whew. And if the devil's dependent on God and God's for us, how are we going to lose this thing? Praise God. Amen. Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden. Now look how he presented the word. He quotes the word, but right off the bat, you have to say, wait, what's his motivation? What did he do? He didn't just say the word says this. He says, as a question, has the word really said this? Are you really freed from your sin? Does the Bible say that he became sin for us that we'd be the righteousness of God? Does the Bible really say that a woman shouldn't cut her hair? Does the Bible say that a man ought to abstain from fleshly lust? I mean, does it really say that? This is how he presented it. And right then, she should have known something's wrong. Right then, should have known, because what was being challenged wasn't the doctrine itself. It was the authority behind the doctrine. That though, oh yeah, this is good. God said that, but can we change it a little? Can we put our own idea to it? Can we make it more acceptable to a Laodicean church? Can we bring it more to 2016? Because 1965 was too long ago. Right. How much more the Word of God itself that wasn't written but thousands of years ago? Come on.
Amen.
And Satan's got those spirits that'll tell you don't apply no more. You need to update it. I don't even care about updating the language, because if you just read the Bible, even in the King James, if you just read it, you understand it. Problem is, you read too much of this garbage on the internet no more, and all this stuff for the world that doesn't even know how to use English anymore. And then you try to go to someone that actually used the proper words and things that don't make sense anymore.
Right.
Wait, you? I thought that was just you. I didn't know that was Y-O-U. Come on. See, that's what people do. And that's why the Bible's hard to understand. Well, the first problem is you never got in the Spirit.
Amen.
Because the Spirit of God can take the words and show you the real meaning behind it. Amen. And if you ain't got the Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you right now, you've already been deceived. Because the message has come. Everyone has an ability to receive the Spirit if they'd want to.
Right.
But God knows those that would want, those that do not. And if you don't, you won't get it. Amen.
Right.
The woman said, so right off the bat, Satan brings the word, but brings it with a question on it. I'm probably going to take a while today, so I hope you're all right. If you just came to fill in your religious time, well, you're going to be having a hard service. But if you came to hear from God, you'll be having a good time, because you get delivered from the enemy. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Serpent was more subtle than any beast the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now we all understand that's where the first lie came. That was where he just added in one word. See, he couldn't create anything, so he just took one of the words and moved it around.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. Instead of saying, don't partake of the tree, or do not partake of the tree because you'll die, he took that word not and says, go ahead, partake, but you won't die. So he only moved one word around, but you see how much that changed the whole meaning of what God said. Now, why does he do that? We're going to lead right into this doctrine of Balaam. Is he wants you to still feel religious. He wants you to still feel like you're part of the church. You're still serving the right God. You still got the right word. But yet, you're going to find out that you've went into the realms of sin and the consequences. He won't show you that. He'll show you the immediate results of becoming a sinner. Because there is an initial, the world, it's like a relief. There's initial, it's not even a blessing, it's the deception, but it feels like a blessing when you partake of sin the first time. And that's all Satan will show, and that's what Satan was doing here to Eve. He said, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And my, doesn't that sound great? But here we are after the fact and said, I don't want to know nothing about evil. I could have done real well without knowing a thing about evil. I just want to know about good.
Right.
But what did the serpent say? He says, you don't know evil. You're ignorant of evil. And the devil will come tell you that today. Some of you young people never drank before. Some say, come try a drink. You can have every daddy come by and say, I've done it. Don't do it. Don't do it. But Satan say, just try it once. And that first time, man, it feels... feels so good. What a relief. All this is great. Now to be caged up in all that legalistic doctrine.
Oh, yeah. Right.
But then you begin to realize, wait, I was being lied to. Because one drink don't stop. Turns into two. Turns into four. Turns into where you can't even breathe without putting alcohol in your mouth. Turns into you being an unfaithful husband, unfaithful wife, tearing your family apart for some youthful lust that you have. And before you know it, you're a bum on the side of the street somewhere looking at yourself saying, what did I do with my life? But all the way back, it was just, oh, I was just caged up in that old legalistic church and I needed to get out and live a little bit of life. I needed to go out there and feel what these things are like. You don't need to go out there. Stay with the Word of God.
Amen.
The devil don't bring you out there to bless you. He's bringing you out there to torment you and kill you.
Sure.
But initially, what is this doctrine of Balaam? Is to leave that part out. To hide that off to the side and only show you the first initial blessing, as we'll call it. The first initial, oh, don't you feel good about this? Hallelujah. So Satan has tricked the woman, as we understand. She was deceived, brother, sister. The Bible picks that up later, that she didn't think that this was wrong. She had been so duped by the devil, she thought that the serpent's interpretation of the Word of God was right. And that has happened in our day, brother, sister.
Sure.
These people that they write in the Methodist church has it, the Baptist, the first line will say, the Word of God is the inspired Word of God. It's the authority of all. And they believe that here. But Satan has come on the scene and changed it to where they can read it right to themselves and realize, no, I don't believe this. I don't actually believe this. But yet they'll say, but I know I do because, you know, the priest said we do, or the pastor does. And they, you know, we just had to update it a little bit. And yet the same Bible tells you, it told Moses said when he was given the law, he says, if anybody adds to this, they're adding the plagues. They're dead. That's right. Jesus picked it up and said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or tittle will be taken away from the law until all be fulfilled. And then the book of Revelation says, if you add one word, you'll add every plague. If you take one out, you'll take yourself out of the book of life.
That's right.
Amen. That's the point, is he's not a creator, but he adds more of a meaning to it than what God has given to it. And then what does he do? He twists the whole picture around and presents it to you to where it initially looks great, but you end up dying from it. Man, I hate that devil. I hate him, man. He's just so good at that. That's one thing he's good at. He is a good adversary. I'll give him that. He's persistent, too. He don't like to give up. He don't give up in church, even.
No way.
He shows up a lot more in church than most of us do. Whoo, glory. Now, look, he came, he deceived Eve, and picked up in verse 6, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food. You see all this initial satisfaction. And that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave to her husband. He also did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened and they knew that they were naked. So the initial reaction was, hey, our eyes are open. Whoa, this is awesome. This was great. But what was the first thing that happened? Instant shame. Wait, we're naked. Why are we naked? Why did God put us here naked? And then the questions begin to roll. Wait a minute. Is God's word actually right? Were we told the truth? What? You see, right then, Satan had him. Yeah. Satan didn't even have to do nothing. No, he just kicked back. You don't even hear nothing about him. He just went ahead and went home.
Right.
Why? Because it's done infiltrated. The poison's already got in. It'll take effect. He just walked away.
Right. Amen.
And if man would have been courageous enough to admit that he was wrong. See, a lot of us think we're courageous, but can never admit that we're wrong. You ain't really courageous. You ain't brave just because you can tackle a giant. You're brave because you can come. I think a whole lot more of David from confessing to what he did to Bathsheba and getting right with God than I do about him killing Goliath. Because that showed what a real man is. A real man ain't measured by his muscles. He's measured by his character. He's measured about the honesty of his own heart. And Adam should have been right here, looked Eve in the face and said, we've messed this all up. We've done it wrong because God told us not to do this. We ought to go and ask him to forgive us right now.
Right.
But his pride rose up. Said, we can hide it. We can hide it away and we can continue this temporal benefit forever somehow. No, you can't. It's over. That one high, that's it. You're waking up in the morning and you're going to be sicker than a dog.
Uh-huh.
That's right. Okay. Amen. So we can go right there and get where Satan began this. Now, when we read in the book of Revelation, and he talks, and John was given by the angel about where Satan dwells, it's so fitting that this one verse is there. And again, had the message not come, I'd have blown right over this. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't have the message of the hour. It was given to Brother Branham, and I believe it. Amen. You have to humble yourself to the word of the hour. That's right. But Revelations 2, verse 14 says, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam." And brother, sister, had this verse not been in the Bible, Balaam would just been a story of, well, you know, there's a guy messed up. Wouldn't never thought nothing of it. But here in the book of Revelations, God is telling his people, go all the way back to that man. And I'm telling you, that spirit that was there that made that man make that mistake is sitting right in your church.
Uh-huh.
It's sitting right there persuading people. And it's not just an idea. It's become a doctrine. It's become what the churches are standing on. I think it behooves us to look into it and figure out what Satan had presented and duped this church with.
Right.
It says, I have a few things against you because I was there. The doctrine of Balaam. Now look what he says here. He says, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling stone or stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So I want to go back. Let's go to Numbers. And if you get chance to read the whole story, I'm not going to read the whole story. It'd be three chapters. Numbers 22 is where it starts. And the children of Israel had been coming out of bondage in Egypt, going to the promised land. As we understand, they began to wander and they destroyed. They had a victory right before this. I believe it was in Edom because they wouldn't let them through. Then they come unto the people of Moab. Now, pick it up in Numbers chapter 22. In verse 1, the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on the side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done. Oh, it's the Amorites. I'm sorry. Not Edom, but the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick us up, all that are round about us, as an ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. And he sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou curses is cursed. So this shows you that when we talked about earlier, that these people were in the church at one time, but gave heed to seducing devils, or seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, and it drove them out of the congregation of the church.
Right.
Here's Balaam, who is known, as Balak said, if you bless someone, they're blessed. If you curse someone, they're cursed. The gift of God in Balaam's life was vindicated.
Yes.
So here comes Balak, who doesn't have a promise of God, who's setting up a church outside of the Word, a hybrid church from Moab. Why? The lineage went from Abraham to Isaac. That was the promised seed. But out of Abraham's cousin, I think, or it would have been his nephew, was Lot, and he had a tribe that created the tribe of Moab. And here is Moab saying, look, we're tied into Abraham too. We're part of this thing too. We've got a church. We got a steeple. We pay tithes. We've got a Bible.
Right.
We give a sacrifice. We sing songs. We're a church just like you guys.
Uh-huh.
Yet here came the real church ready to trample them all over on the ground because they were living in righteousness and they were living in sin.
Sure.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it's not the people that were supposed to be really afraid. It was that they were in sin and that's what was going to cause them to be defeated.
Right.
So here's Balak noticing that the children of God are coming to take his land. And he goes and he finds him a prophet that has been vindicated. But he finds out something about this prophet. If you have enough money or enough time or enough honor, you can get this prophet to do what you want. And this changes the scene, and this is where I've seen the Spirit begin to move. I'm not getting anywhere fast at all. That's all right. I guess we'll take our time. It's infiltrated in even to our message to where as long as it looks prosperous, I'm talking that initial blessing, as long as it gets everyone shouting and jumping, or as long as some people wanted everybody quiet and dead. But either way, as long as it gets the reaction they want, as long as it looks good on paper, as long as we bring more people in the church, then it must be of God.
Come on.
But brother, sister, if it's deviated from the word at all, I don't care what happens. It's wrong.
That's right.
And it'll wind up in death one of these days.
Amen.
Here was a prophet that could be bought off, and I could read the whole story, but I want to skip ahead. Let's go to verse 12. And Balak, we know he sends people to tell him to curse Israel. So Balaam goes to God, and God answers him. See, this man had a communication with God, but I hate to, this is the thing, brother, sister. It can't just be a religious relationship with God, even if God is speaking to you.
Right.
Because it'll never save your soul. Whew, glory to God. You can't serve God by what you can get out of Him. You serve God because of what, just because of who He is.
Amen.
This is the line that's being drawn in the sand in this day. People that have followed a doctrine, people that have went to church to be religious, and people that are in love with Jesus.
Amen. Praise God.
If you're not in love with Jesus, you're going to find yourself on the wrong side. God said unto Balaam, and God could even be talking to you, God through prophesying out of you, God could do all those wonderful, mighty things, but you're going to come up just like that Jenner after the resurrection says, we've cast out devils, we've prophesied, we've healed the sick, we've done all these things in your name. He said, I never knew you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It really is, and I know the nominal church has taken this phrase from us, but it's really a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Sure is.
But you got to know who Jesus is. Jesus ain't your feelings. Jesus ain't a bunch of pomp and pop up. Jesus is the Word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God said to Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, for thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Thus saith the Lord, done, over. That's what God said.
Amen.
Now watch. Balaam initially stays in the church. Initially says, yeah, I believe the Word of God. I believe it. If we lay hands on the sick, they recover. I believe that.
Sure.
And then after a month or two, you know, then all of a sudden people become exceptions. Because it can't be my own belief why you didn't get healed. That can't have nothing to do with it. I'm a believer. It must have been your fault. If you play the blame game, I'm going to tell you right now, just go find your mirror and just keep saying it. Because that's who's wrong. Verse 13, and Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. At least Balaam had enough revelation to know if God ain't there, there ain't no point in going. I can't do it unless God is going to at least be there. So he says, just go home. There's nothing I can do. And the princes of Moab rose up and they went to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes, more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor. I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. I'll make you a pastor. I'll make you a deacon. I'll give you a paycheck. Give you new cars, new homes. You won't have to worry about a bill ever again. Just come preach what I say.
Right. Amen.
Come preach what the people want to hear.
Sure.
Whew. And people won't bring it that way, but that ain't the way, that's the way it comes. That's the truth.
Yeah, that's true.
Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, now watch this. If Balak would give me his house full of silver or gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do more or less. He stayed with the word. He knew he was limited by God. But I hate that don't prove you're a believer at all. Because even the devil knows he's limited by God. Even the devil, when he wanted to, I'm sure he hated Job for a long time. I'm sure he couldn't stand that holy roller. And every time he wanted to go do something, what would happen? There'd be no way to get in there. That blood would be all over him. He couldn't cross it. Like I said before, he'd have to become a believer himself.
Right.
He ain't going to do that. He's too filthy and nasty.
Right.
But one day, finally, God came to him. Says, you considered my servant Job? He said, of course I have. You got a hedge built about him. I can't even get in nowhere. Says, go ahead then. Hallelujah. So if Satan is bound by God, a prophet even of Satan, a make-believe prophet with a real gift of God, but yet giving himself over to Satan, will recognize he's still limited by God.
Sure.
Amen. Now watch what happens though. Verse 19, "Now therefore I pray you, tarry he also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more." Adding one word. Look, I went and I got thus say the Lord, but that was too simple. That was too easy. That made too much sense. Let's go back and study it again for 10 years and make it 10 times more complicated than God ever made it. Let me go back and ask him again if this is really his word or not. If he said it, it meant it, and that's it. You take it to the bank. God don't have gimme backs. God says the first time it's true, and the same God came to you. And he said, I'm just going to cut ahead a little bit. If you repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power from on high. So no matter what the devil brings, you have power to overcome him.
Amen.
And if you feel like that promise isn't true, you've added more at the end of that statement. I've heard it in this message, brother, sister. And again, it doesn't come out blatant and obvious all the time, but Satan never comes out blatant and obvious. But I've watched ministers take the statue of a perfect man that Brother Branham preached, and by the time you're done, you've got to do so much and build up so much, I don't know where Acts 2:38 even fits in it anymore.
Right. Amen.
The same man that got up on the day of Pentecost and say, repent, be baptized, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, is the one that wrote the scripture that Brother Branham uses for statue of a perfect man. I'm pretty sure he knows how to get people born again.
Amen.
And he never threw that in Acts chapter 2 and said, well, I mean, you kind of got born again. You kind of got the Holy Ghost, but we got to build up some patience and temperance first. Then you'll really get it. And that doesn't happen, brother, sister. The new birth is an initial thing. It's an instantaneous thing. It's not a progressive thing at all. You believe until you receive it. You have to believe first. That's right. Brother Bram said, you don't get it when you believe. You get it after you believe. You believe the Word. You accept the Word. You confess it. You do what God has said, which is repent, get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. After that, you receive it.
Amen.
That's it. Now, once that new life comes into you, it will push out a new life, and we have to watch that. God has asked us to watch it as well. Watch what comes out of your life. If you're not careful, you'll start putting out fruit you don't want to. How do I know what's right? Is it faith?
Uh-huh.
Is it virtue? Is it knowledge from the Word of God? Is it patience with my brother? Is it temperance, self-control? Is it godliness? Does it even look like God in the first place? Hallelujah. Is it divine love? Am I really putting the other person in front of myself?
Sure.
Hallelujah. Still religious, still in the church, still prophesying, but seeing what God will say more than what He put in His Word.
Uh-huh.
And that's where it all started. That is where Satan knew, I've got him.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. Verse 20, "And God came unto Balaam at night, and said unto Balaam," or said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet, the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do." And right there, the way God said that tells you that is His permissive will. His perfect will was, don't even look at them. Get away from these guys and stay where you're at. And that's what the message came to tell us, brother, sister. Here's the word of God. It's black and white. Put your heart on it and believe that. Don't you move at all.
Amen.
And initially, we had a big flux of people that said that they would do that. But by and by, what happens? Let me go ask God again. Let me go ask Him again. Let me go ask Him again. And Brother Branham even said this with woman preachers. He said, a woman preacher called me and said, God called me. He says, I don't doubt that a bit. But the Word told you, you're not called to do it. But you kept going back and kept going back and kept going back to where God said, well, go ahead, but you ain't going to bless it. But yet, what the Word says, do that. But go ahead. And you might think, well, Balaam kind of got off on this a little bit. This ended up leading into Balaam dying.
Yes, he did.
I'm going to get to that in a minute. But let me back it up. Coming out of the Church Age book. Pergamon Church Age. You hearing from the Lord today? Out of the Church Age, this is Smyrna, Pergamon Church Age.
Hallelujah.
When Balaam asked God for permission to go, God turned him down. My, that stung. But Balak insisted, promising him even greater rewards and honor. So Balaam went back to God. Now, one answer from God should have been enough. but not for self-willed Balaam. Look, when God saw his perversity, he told him to get up and go. When God could tell, this is the thing, brother, sister, when God can tell that in your heart you're not really interested in serving him, sure, go ahead.
Sure.
Go ahead. God will warn you, don't do this. If you went by and said, but I don't really, I know I can look like the world, I can act like him, I'll still go to church and go through the motions and things, but God, if he can tell in your heart you're not really sold out, well, go ahead.
Sure.
And you know what? You're going to find out. I should have just listened to the word.
Amen.
That's right. Quickly, he saddled the donkey and went away he went. He should have realized that this was simply God's permissive will, and he wouldn't be able to curse them if he went 20 times and tried 20 times. How like Balaam are people today? They believe in three gods, get baptized in three titles instead of the name, and yet God will send his spirit upon them as he did upon Balaam, and they will go on believing that they are exactly right, and here they are actually perfect Balaamites. See, the doctrine of Balaam, go ahead anyway. Do it your way. They said, well, God has blessed us. It must be all right. I know he has blessed you. I don't deny that. But it's the same organizational route that Balaam took. It's defiance to God's word. It's false teaching.
Amen.
Does God ever change his mind about his word? 1965. So now the great harlot of Revelation 17. Balaam teachers with their false doctrine is marrying the church into that kind of a mess. Watch when it comes to the showdown at the end time. How many believes we're there? I believe this showdown, this is prophecy for right here in 2016. Look, the weakness of it now. 900 and something different organizations. One pulling this way, one the other. There's no unity among them. Listen now. They're trying to bring unity, not backed by the Word of God. God's original plan. They are taking it back in by a politics and an organization. God doesn't change his mind. He stays right with his word. He said, heavens and earth will pass away, but my word won't. That's right. He stays with his original word. Oh my. Though they still reason against it just like they did, there's only one thing to do. He won't change it. Just believe. Because both heavens and earth will pass away, his word will never fail. See? You see when you're, where you're getting married into? See the politics and how they're trying to join the church together by a politics in the church? We are not joined to Christ by politics. We are joined the church to Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And the way you know the baptism of the Holy Ghost is because the Spirit in you identifies every word of God to be the truth. That's right.
Amen.
For whosoever shall take one word out of it or will add one to it, his part will be taken out of the book of life. Yet, he prospers, you say. You can't believe that by prosperity. You can't judge God by prosperity. The world prospers. Balaam prospered by it. But brother, you judge God by his word. He keeps his word and identifies it the truth. So remember, friend, as long as you live, don't never forget this. God doesn't change his mind.
Amen.
Yet, he will bless. He will let you go on his permissive will. But he won't change his mind. He won't change his plan. He won't change his word for you. No, sir.
No way.
This is where it balances out if you're really the bride or not. The bride has his word. She doesn't add to it. She doesn't take away. The bride doesn't have her own word.
Right.
The bride has his word.
Amen.
Amen. She submits to it. But now that you've taken on his word, you and him becomes one. So his word and you are literally the same person. But there's people that claim that, but yet aren't on the real word of God. That's a false teaching. That's saying God will respect it because I'm at least trying. I'm doing good enough. I've got to, you know, as long as we look like a church, that's good enough for me. That's the doctrine of the devil.
Amen.
That'll send you to hell a lot faster than stuff of the world that's bluntly obvious. A lot more than a man walking into a bar. He knows he's wrong.
Sure.
Walking to a strip joint. He knows he's wrong. Smoking cigarettes and acting like the world and cursing and things. I don't care how much. It doesn't matter. As much as people, even students nowadays, they cuss all the time. But they know it's wrong. Why? Because the word of God holds true. Man will give account for every idle word that he says. God didn't give you a word to waste it. He gave you the word to be just like he was. To take the word and to create a real Eden.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yet he blesses. He won't change his word for you. No, sir. You've got to change.
Amen.
You can't have God's word to match your experience. You've got to have your experience match God's word. Amen. And when I look at people that received the Holy Ghost, they wrote a book of Acts.
Amen.
When I see people receive the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues. They delivered devils out of people. They proved that divine healing was still true. Their shadow healed people.
Amen.
That's the quota for a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not what some people takes a quote and blows out of proportion and says, well, just believe the word. Just believe the word like it's some monument up here. You know, we just take this and we put it on a pedestal. Say, oh, we believe the word. The word's not a book. The word's a person. And that person's Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And he's alive.
Amen.
He rose again on the third day. He's still alive today. How do I know he lives in me and does the same thing out of me that he always did?
Amen.
Amen. God don't change his mind. I don't want my experience, the word to match my experience. I want to know that my experience matched the word of God. Going back to Balaam for a minute, I want to show you Balaam. You go read to 22 up to 24. Balaam tries to curse Israel over and over and over again. Well, God keeps telling him, you're not going to do it. There's no point. You might as well not even try. Two times you'll watch Balaam give an offering. Please go read it later. He gives an offering before the Lord.
Sure.
Why? He got it right out of Israel. He does exactly what Israel would do to approach the Lord.
That's
he had the fundamentals down pat.
Amen.
He knew how to run a service on paper.
Yes, sir.
There's people who know how to get the Spirit to move in a church just to get the feels and all that, but right. When it comes down to getting anybody converted or changed, it just ain't nowhere to be found. Because Balaam wasn't interested in that. He was interested in the temporal results, as we were talking about. I just want to be able to curse him so I can get my paycheck this week.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Make sure they keep coming back. The ones that, you know, pay a little heavy on the play, I got to make sure they come back. So I got to make sure I don't preach down their line. I'll bash everyone else's sin, but I'll leave theirs alone. And that partiality is what destroys churches.
Amen.
Hypocrisy is the number one curse to a church. If you want it to split in half, let hypocrisy run throughout the church. It'll break it right in half. Even if you're going to be wrong, at least be consistent. You might not like that, but it's true. At least say the same thing every time. And at least, and then when you find out you're wrong, repent of that and stop saying what you used to say and say what you're supposed to say.
Amen.
That'll get that. Because we're all learning, brother, sister. We're all learning. We ain't. Man, if you feel like you're closer to the Lord 10 years ago than you are today, I'm going to tell you what you are. You're not more spiritual. You're backslidden. You should feel closer to the Lord. You should have learned more from the Lord now than you did 10 years ago. That's right. So we all ought to have patience with one another with these things. But when it comes to the Word, you can't leave it. If you know you've left it, you're done. It's over. So Balaam tries to get this curse to come directly from God. And what happens? He gets turned down. But that's not the end of the doctrine of Balaam.
No, it's not.
You'll find out. Now, it doesn't. I love how the word's written. Turn with me real quick. I said, I'm going to be a little bit longer than normal. Hallelujah. Numbers 25. My Bible even has it labeled, but I thank God for revelation. It calls it the doctrine of Balaam. Isn't that right, brother? He's got the same Bible I do. So, hallelujah. Numbers 25. Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredoms with the daughters of Moab. Where was Moab? Where Balak was trying to get them to converse. He was trying to get them cursed from Balak. So what is the doctrine of Balaam? Well, we can't directly curse it. We can't directly speak against it. We can't come into Brother Branham's meetings and do anything about it because the Holy Ghost comes and proves that they're all wrong. So what we'll do is we'll wait for a thing called the internet to come out, and instead of dealing with it head on, we'll come around the back door. We'll talk it in intellectuals and use doctrines, and we'll begin to find the preachers that are intellectual and aren't born again. We'll begin to change their thinking over out of the Word of God over to where we're at. And we'll keep egging that on and egging that on until finally we get that pastor to stop using quotes. It's pretty sad when a minister is supposed to be in the message for 2 years doesn't use a quote and nobody seems to recognize that he's left the message. You go look it up. Jeff Jenkins even brags about it a little bit that he went 2 years without using a quote. How do you have a message and not use it? That'd be like, I believe Paul, but I ain't going to read none of his letters. I don't know about that. That'd be a telltale sign for me. And if you got a spirit in you that don't like the quotes, you got the wrong spirit. I'm going to tell you that right now. Oh, my. Might not like that, but that's the truth. This is the Word of God made flesh. Amen. So this comes from Moab. And they began to commit whoredoms with Moab. So what did, and I'll show you later where it tells you that Balaam's the one that did this. Balaam went to Balak and said, well, we can't, We can't get them, God directly curse them, but I do know that God is a righteous God. God is a holy God. So if we can get them to commit sin, God will have to judge them because God is consistent.
Right.
If you sin that day, you're going to receive from it. That, you know, He's not partial to any of us.
Right.
That's right. Amen. Verse 2, it says, and they called unto the people the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. I'm trying to go a little bit faster. I just can't do it. So what happens is Moab, he tells them, get them to commit whoredoms with you. Get the men and the women to get together. Get them pretty girls out there.
Sure.
Money, women, popularity. Does that sound familiar a little bit?
Yep.
He used popularity on Balaam himself. He threw women out there. And why? Because he could make some more money off of it. And he begins to swing the church. And what happens? It doesn't just start out as it's just, you know, it's just nice to get together, just a little bit of fellowship. Before you know it, we're bowing down to different gods. Before you know it, we're not even an image of what we used to be.
Sure.
We're out here committing whoredoms, thinking we're doing the will of God.
Uh-huh.
Whew. Verse 3, and Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. Do you think they would have done this if they'd have known that was the consequences? What was the doctrine of Balaam? Oh, don't worry about none of that. Look at this initial blessing. Look at these pretty girls you're going to be able to have today. Look at these awesome dances. Look at this lack of feeling convicted in church. Doesn't this feel so much better than being convicted all the time? Doesn't this feel better than recognizing you're a sinner and you need to get right today and we can all just feel happy and good and go home and say, praise God, I'm a Christian living in sin? Doesn't that feel great?
Say it.
And people believe that. Then they don't realize that one day they'll wake up and say, where's God? Wait, why is the world falling apart? I thought, and Brother Bram, man, it just brings horror to anybody putting yourself there. It says people wake up and say, I thought the rapture was supposed to happen before all this stuff happened. So then a voice will come and say, it's already passed and you missed it.
Sure.
I'd rather be ignorant than to know what was going to happen and realize I missed salvation. You know what, these people, that's why I believe the foolish virgin is going to look like a bunch of nuts. They're going to be running around saying, that's it, guys. We're done. And everything's going to look okay for a while. Remember, the beast doesn't destroy everything right away. He's got 3.5 years to work with. And he starts, and there's this little group of people out there that are just, you know, them religious zealots out there, those that didn't come all the way into Christ, but we understand they were still virgins. You can go pick it up and with the foolish virgin and things. But they're going to go around saying, it's over. We missed it. The rapture's gone. Everything's, it's going to destruction. We might as well not even eat, drink. I mean, it's done, guys. They're going to say, oh, you're crazy. You're nuts. It's fine. Look how prosperous this is. The doctrine of Balaam. As long as it's prosperous, it's of God. That's not true at all. That's one of the telltale signs it's not of God.
Sure.
That's right. If it starts prospering in things that drive people from serving the Lord, it's not of God.
Amen.
And one of the biggest snares, as we know, is money.
Sure.
Right. We ought to be controlled, but we all know it's real hard. You get a little bit of money, just burn your pocket up. You got to go spend on something. And I'm going to tell you, usually that something don't drive you closer to the Lord.
Right. Amen.
It usually drives you away.
Amen.
And if we'd be spiritual, we'd say, Lord, just give me enough to eat, drink, and live.
Right.
Don't let me live a life that isn't pleasing to you.
Amen.
Let me live you. If it's too much of a snare, just keep it away from me, Lord. Hallelujah. That's a real believer. So this matter of Beor, look what happens. And you could keep reading there. Actually, I'm going to read it. We got to read this. Mary says, hang them all up, kill them all. Verse 5, and Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his man that was joined unto Baal Peor. So look, and what's about to happen is one snuck out that they didn't catch. The plague was still going. People were still dying from a plague. And they couldn't figure out. They said, I thought we killed them all. And then it says this, and behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, in the sight of all the children, the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. I wonder how he recognized what kind of woman she was. I don't think he had a Bible study with her. I think he looked at her. God don't care what I wear. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. It speaks. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, that the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000.
Wow.
So you pick it up now. This is called the matter of Peor later on in the Bible. And just real quick, turn with me to 31. Numbers 31. Thank God for a message, brother, sister.
Hallelujah.
Said it's just Balaam the prophet, not a big deal. But then you start looking at this and said, this is the problem. This is what's infiltrated our church. This doctrine's got into our message. As long as it's prosperous of God. No, it's not. It's whether it's the word or not.
Amen.
And then all of a sudden, one day we wake up and 24,000 people don't believe it no more. All of a sudden, people in the message that got a little compromise 10 years ago recognize, none of my kids serve the Lord now.
Right.
Why? And then they go back and say, it was that one day where we said, I know Brother Branham said that, but things have changed.
Sure.
I know the Word of God said we ought to kick that TV out of our house. I won't set a wicked thing before me. People putting them back up. It's the truth.
Amen.
Save your soul one day. Hallelujah. Numbers 31. Now watch. They get wrapped up. This is Israel again in Midian. They get wrapped up in more women and sin and things. And just to show you why, I'm bringing this. Verse 13. And Moses and Eleazar the priest and all the princes of the congregation went forth to meet them without the camp. And Moses was wroth with the officers of the host, with the captain of thousands and captain over hundreds, which come from the battle. Moses said unto them, have you saved all the women alive? Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Now therefore kill every male among the little ones and kill every woman that hath known man by lying with him. Let me just get out of the church age book, permanent church age. So Balaam got Israel to commit fornication. Do you know that physical fornication is the same spirit that lies in organized religion?
Amen.
I said that the spirit of fornication is the spirit of organization. And all fornicators will have their place in the lake of fire. That is what God thinks of organization. Yes, sir. The whore and her daughters will be in a lake of fire. And brother, sister, when a man of God, a real man of God, recognizes that this doctrine, this sin is getting in the church, he cannot keep quiet. He cannot be passive about it. But he'll just be like Phinehas, who took his spear and said, we got to get rid of this now.
Amen.
Not tomorrow. Now, because this plague is spreading.
Amen.
This plague of doctrine of compromising on the Word of God. Saying, well, at least we got benefits. At least we got more people when we laid off women's holiness.
Sure.
We got more people when we laid off about TV. We got more people when we said it's okay to miss church. We got more people when we said don't worry about praying for service.
Uh-huh.
We got more people when we said we don't need speaking in tongues no more.
Come on.
We got more people when we said, well, God healed, but it's according to His will, whenever that is. He wrote out His will, brothers and sisters. I'm the Lord that heals all thine diseases.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And here comes Moses the same way. He says, and I understand Moses' frustration. He says, don't you guys know better? Don't you remember your cousins, your brothers? I'm sure they all had family that died in that.
Uh-huh.
And here you are doing the same thing. It shows you how this doctrine gets into people's heads. And even when they can't, Don't get mad. Recognize it's because they only have nearsight. They have no foresight.
Right.
They see the initial relief. They see the initial blessing right in their face. They see, like, well, here's a bunch of pretty women. But you understand, Satan ain't just always in lust of the flesh.
Sure.
He's got lust of life and the pride of life and all his temptations. He'll only show you this far of it. But a spiritual man can sit back and say, but look what happens right after that. Look what happens right after that. And brother, sister, how much more when your soul's laying between heaven and hell? And there's only one string holding on. Where's it coming from? It's coming from the cross.
Amen.
And the only thing that keeps that together is faith in God.
Amen.
And when someone tries to challenge that and say that the word's not completely right, it doesn't completely apply, it's been updated, it's been changed, I'm going to add a little bit more and mix in a little bit of that unbelief. You think it looks okay, but you don't recognize it'll break the chain every time.
Amen.
Glory to God. God help us to get real men and women. Not just pastors. We need men and women of God who stand up and say, I don't care what happens. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how popular I am. I don't care how many people hate me. Somebody's got to stand up for this word. Here was Moses. We understand he was the leader who caused this one. But the last time was Phinehas. He was just a grandson of a pastor. He was a grandson of the priest who recognized, we need to do something about this. Oh, hallelujah. You say, what can I do? Live a life consecrated to God. That'll slay devils left and right every time.
Amen.
We don't need organized religion. We don't need a movement in politics and things. We need men and women of God who's willing to take the sword of the word and cut back unbelief anytime it comes in the house.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Balaam's doctrine is always to take the word. Always take the word first, but then mix in a little bit of your own thoughts that benefit you for a little bit of time. That is his doctrine that's come. And it is coming to our message, brother, sister. It's come underneath. How? TV, you know, just call a TV a monitor. Then it's okay.
Sure.
We used to recognize that thing was evil. And Brother Bram, look, he bounced it out perfectly. If you've got something to watch sermons on, praise God. Why else were you recording them?
Right.
All right? There's nothing wrong with that. But he said, it's not the TV that's wrong. It's what you got on it that's wrong.
Right.
Hallelujah. It's the same with anything. We've all got these devices. They're great if we commit them to the Lord.
Sure.
But when you just let Satan in it, I'm telling you, that temporal little bit of blessing or relief or whatever you want to call it, that little bit of temptation that makes it look easier or better, that is the poison.
Uh-huh.
That's the apple with poison in it. Don't take the first bite. Throw it out the window now.
Amen.
It will taste good at first, but I'm telling you, it's marrow to the bone, or it just put water in your bones and kill you.
Right.
Hallelujah. God, as we just read there, God doesn't want people that mix with the Word of God.
No.
That mix with the world and the Word together. He wants people that are 100% the Word.
Amen.
That's right. And that comes down to us as individuals, brother, sister.
Exactly.
Whatever we believe, we ought to know it's 100% the Word. If it's 99% the Word and we know, you know, this little part of it ain't right, you ought to throw the whole thing in the trash because you missed it somewhere. God don't work in 99s. God works in absolutes.
Amen.
He is the absolute. He's the say-all. Balaam's doctrine. Take the Word. Mix it with the world. Do whatever you want. As long as you get benefits, as long as it looks prosperous, then it's of God. And that's a doctrine of the devil.
Amen.
Let me read you a few quotes and I'll close on this. Does God change His mind? 1965. And if I'm talking to some man of God here, when they try to tell you at the headquarters that the days of miracles is past, and this is what we're doing here, and the Lord Jesus is blessing us, and that bunch of fanaticism, workup, and emotion, there's no such a thing as divine healing. Get out of that group right there.
Amen.
Get out of it. Because it's the Word of God being made manifest. They say there's no such a thing as apostolic days. There is no baptism of the Holy Ghost. That speaking in tongues, there is nothing to it there. But oh brother, don't you listen to that. There is a many one like Balaam today sitting back in their office reading these books of the Bible and know that it's the truth. But yet, just because of position's sake, they won't take their stand. Just exactly right. Notice God, He knew He shouldn't have been in that group. In this group, or Balaam should have known it. They get out of the will of God. Them fellows will talk you right out of the will of God. When you find the will of God, don't let nobody talk you out of it. I've noticed the good people come to the meetings, get healed, and go back, and they say, "Oh well, there's nothing to it. You're just worked up. There's nothing to it." And the people go to doubting. I've seen people come and receive Christ in their heart, go back, maybe speak in tongues, and go back. And the church will say, "Why, you're a disgrace to Christianity," and so forth. Oh my, don't do that, see? Get out of that group.
Uh-huh.
Stay away from it.
Amen.
Notice Balaam used a phony text here for his conscience sake, see? He said, "Peradventure, yet another night. Maybe I'll ask God, you see. Maybe he will have changed his mind." But God doesn't change His mind. When God gives us the declaration of the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, that's the way He has to keep it.
Right.
He did it all through the Bible age, and He will in any other time. That man will come upon the basis that He offered there. If you come believing, repenting, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and believing on God, God is obligated to fulfill that prescription right, because He's the doctor, and He's fulfilled if you will obey it.
Amen.
But you can't afford now to try to get this prescription, take it over some quack druggist that might put something else in it. It might kill the patient. That's the reason we got so many dead church members today. They are trying to give the wrong prescription. God has got the prescription right here in the Bible. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You've got to take the medication the way the doctor shall give it. Hallelujah. How did God give us His Word? He just said one commandment. Believe it.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you can only believe it, all things are possible. That's why Brother Branham's motto for his ministry was only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. If you add anything more to that, Jesus said it this way, let your yeas be yea and your nays nay. For if anything's more of this, that's where evil comes from.
Sure.
Balaam knew, I'm not supposed to go. What happened? His yea, yes, or actually this was a nay, don't go. What began to happen is after he got asked the second time, began to shift that over just a little bit. It wasn't a complete no, it was partial no. Maybe God will let me go. You know what? God did let him. And that's where people get deceived. And what happened? Why did that even happen in the first place? It's because Balaam got mixed up with a bunch of unbelievers. And it's hard to say that about people, but it's the truth. If you get around people that don't believe this word and you bring it to them and they refuse it, you get away from it. No one like that. But look, you preach the word, but when at the end of the day, we are consecrated to one person, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Daniel was sitting there in Babylon. Daniel didn't even have a church to go to. He had to beg to have a church this big.
That's right.
He had to go by himself.
Amen.
And just go into his prayer closet and pray three times a day. But Daniel didn't do what Balaam did. Even though he got a position in the kingdom, he never compromised on the word of God. And the only sin we even know about Daniel wasn't written down. It was in Daniel's prayer when he says, Lord, forgive us of our iniquities. We've sinned above measure. See, it was only his own confession that we even know he did anything wrong.
Right.
Why? Because in the midst of the worst stage, the worst time, the worst persecution, there was a man that stood up and said, I'm not giving over to the doctrine of Balaam. I'm not giving over just because it'll be most prosperous and I won't have to deal with no trials anymore. I'm going to serve God because He's the one true living God. And all this is a bunch of idols. It's a bunch of nonsense. The only reason we're in this message is because Israel got wrapped up in sin anyways. I shouldn't even be here. But I'm here now. And it don't matter what condition I'm in. I'm going to serve God anyways.
Amen.
And that's where we find ourselves, brothers, here in Laodicea. We shouldn't be here.
Right.
We shouldn't be in this mess. Many of us walked in our own messes that we created.
Right.
But wherever you are, if you get enough unction of the Spirit to stand up and say, I'm going to serve God anyways.
Oh, yes, Lord Jesus.
I'm going to serve Him anyways. I'm going to give Him all my heart. God will come on the scene and deliver you from all that nonsense.
Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. I got one more I want to read.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. I pray you're hearing from God today.
Hallelujah.
Brother, sister, and I'm just going to bring it home. I just keep getting led this way. Many times, it's very tempting, especially as a minister, Satan comes right after you and tries to get you to say something just a little bit different to where it still looks like the word on paper, but you know in the spirit what people are going to do with what you just said.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to take it and justify their sin with it.
Sure.
What you have to do is step back and say, I'm not compromising on the word of God. Before Balaam compromised in his real life, all he did was say the word, well, maybe he'll add more. Maybe I didn't get all the revelation the first time. See how that sounded good? But God knew his heart. He knew what he was saying. He was looking for a loophole. And if you're looking for a loophole, you won't be able to serve God. But if you're a real Christian, as I said, it don't even matter how many times you messed up. If you want to serve God and you want to come to God, you've got to give Him an honest heart to work with. You got to give him a heart that says, look, I know I'm wrong, but Lord, whatever you say, I'll do it.
Sure.
That's when God comes on the scene.
Amen.
That's what you need. And brother, sister, when it comes to your company, that's who you want to fellowship with.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. And it's sad to say it, but even in our message, it's hard to even have real fellowship anymore.
Sure is.
Don't you be that one. Don't you be that one that can't talk about the word. Don't be that one that doesn't know anything about what God's doing. There's nothing worse than asking somebody, so what you been reading the Bible? Haven't read this week. Brother, sister, don't be that. Don't do that. That's a shameful thing.
It is.
And we ought to call it shameful.
Saying,
well, it's okay. No, it's not okay. If you took to a man who had a terminal disease and say, well, did you eat this week? And they said, no, I didn't eat this week. You'd say, what are you doing? Say, well, did you get some rest this week? Nope, stayed up the whole week.
Amen. Come
And where does a Christian find rest? Is in the Word of God.
That's
right, in your prayer closet. And if you ain't sleeping in the Word of God, if you ain't getting your rest and your peace and your joy and feeding on the Word, you're dying.
Amen.
And I care a whole lot more about people's spiritual condition than I do their physical condition. Nothing worse than a man. Look, brothers, take this to the bank. Oh, set, lead homes and you got your families and things. You're the head of the house.
Right.
You and many men, at least I hope so, take care of their, they think that when it says you're worse than an infidel if you don't care, take care of the house. They'll think, well, I pay the bills, I get the food, I do. That's great. We ought to do that. But he was talking more than that.
Yes, he was.
When we stand up and watch sin come right in the house, we say, oh, that's all right. Well, you know, boys will be boys. Yeah, and boys need born again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I understand there's a time where a young man reaches an age where a parent has to say, look, I've told you the right, or a young woman, I've told you the right way. You need to do it now. I can't force you to do it. But still, you're under my roof. You ought to obey the word. Man, you have to take the stand on the Word of God.
Sure.
You don't let sin in the house. That's right. Man. Brother Branham kicked Billy Paul out because he wanted a TV. I'm telling you, Brother Dan, you're going to have to buy me a bigger pulpit, but that's all it was. But see, God looked past that. It wasn't just wasting time on a TV. It was going to let devils in the way of the ministry going forward. And when you recognize that each one of us are part of this ministry, and we won't let devils come in there, you know why you're letting them in? Because of this doctrine I'm preaching on. Oh, yeah, it's got temporal benefit. Oh, yeah, it feels great for an hour or two. Before you know it, you can't even feel the presence of God no more. Before you know it, you go to bed and you don't have peace. And then you want to pray for others, but you can't even find time to pray for anybody else because you're too busy praying for yourself.
Sure.
And I'll quote what the Bible says, brethren, these things ought not to be so.
Amen.
What do I do about it? Do what you're supposed to do a long time ago.
Amen.
Repent and stop doing it.
Amen.
That's it. Said, I can't, but he can. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Stay away from all that. Let me finish on this quote. I appreciate your patience today. God of this evil age, 1965. This evil age is of darkness, yet belongs to church. Their God, they love him for it. The way he lets them do, they have no condemnation. Nobody bothers them as long as they belong to church.
Amen.
Balaam taught the church the same thing. Let us unite. We're all the same. It was the last trick. Listen to that. The last trick is just put a big blanket over. We're all really the same. No, if you ain't born again, you're not in this. You're not the same as a born-again believer. God never forgive them for believing such a lie. Remember, it was an unpardonable sin 3 times in the Bible for any persons to add one word of their own interpretation of God's Word after it had been vindicated the truth. In the Garden of Eden, right in the garden, one word added caused death. When Balaam added the word that we're all the same, God never did forgive Israel that.
Nope.
Every one of them perished in the wilderness except the 3 that God brought out. Jesus said they're everyone dead. That's eternally separated. It's an impardonable sin. Never forgiven them. So what is it? It's blasphemy. That's what it is. It's blasphemy the Holy Ghost. Because you eventually, you're telling God that what he does is the devil and what God does is right. It becomes blasphemy. That's right. Can't be forgiven. He says, oh my, flee it, children of the evening lights. See now who is the leader of this modern religious evil age? It's the devil taking that tree of good and evil and placing it out there bringing his beautiful church bride to the ecumenical council for a wedding. That's a good one. He's big, scientific church with all the degrees that has gotten the PhDs out of the Church of Christ and PhDs out of the Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostals and all. Bringing them all with their decorated fineries and big churches, all the ecumenical council. We are one. It'll never be forgiven them. A denomination, to wear the brand of a denomination is the mark of the beast. We've done been through it on here to do it. Flee it, children. Flee it.
Amen.
Brother, sister, to bring us to a close, Satan is trying to create his church. We've exposed, he's actually got more doctrines than this, but this is the first one that we're speaking on today. And this is usually his first line of attack, is to get you to compromise, to give yourself a little bit of temporal pleasure, but crucifying the Word to yourself.
Sure.
taking that name that you love, I trust you do, the name of Jesus Christ. He mean, if He doesn't mean everything to you, brother, sister, you've missed it somewhere. To the Christian, that's the name above all names. That's the greatest person there's ever been, ever can be, is Jesus Christ. And the second you begin to go down this thought of leaving the Word of God, you will rebrand yourself a different name. You'll say, I'm of Christ, but it'll just be like them women. Call us by your name, but we're not really married to you. You don't get the name of Christ unless you're married to Him. But I thank God by His Spirit that we have, I trust you as a believer, fled from the things of the world, fled from this denominational spirit, and come to the real Spirit of God, received the real baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it's taken my name and crucified what I used to be and gave me a new name. Gave me a name like His glorious name, the name of Jesus Christ, placed on my soul. Why? Because I believe the real doctrine of God.
Amen.
That what God said, God meant. He that comes to God, God will no wise turn down. I'm thankful to know that's true.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you,
Father. Hallelujah. Come. Come to the fountains of water. Drink of the well of life freely.
Amen.
Come without. Don't bring your gold. Don't bring your works. Don't bring it. Bring your faith. Believe me for my blessing, and God will bring it to you, brother, sister.
Amen.
I thank God so much for this word. I thank Him for even today. It's just. Again, these revelations, I hope they're hitting home with you as an individual, that this is one of the ways Satan just comes right after us all the time.
Sure.
Every day, hour after hour, just compromise a little bit here, compromise a little bit here. I'm going to warn you, my children, in the faith, wherever you go, this will keep trying to get in. If you could stop this doctrine, you won't have to worry about anything else because it cuts him off. This is the one doctrine he's got the most word still in. Later on, you realize he gets rid of a lot more word and start adding a lot more of his own feelings and emotions. Balaam knew, I've got to have the real word, I've got to hear from God, or I can't do anything. But later on, people, after a while, believe in these lies, you won't need that anymore.
No, that's right.
As long as you feel good, good enough. As long as the pastor says so, good enough. As long as we went through the motions, good enough. And brother, sister, if that gets in our church, we're dead. If it's just because we got here and we moved around a little bit and sang some songs and heard some preaching and that's all church becomes, we're not the church of the living God. When the church gets together, it's to invite the presence of the Almighty God to come, and every sickness ought to be healed every service.
Amen.
Every delivered soul ought to be delivered.
Amen.
Everything should happen to prove to anyone that walks into this place, Jesus Christ truly is alive.
Amen.
Don't believe this doctrine of the devil. Believe the true written word. As Brother Bram said, why would you want a phony, we just read that earlier, phony doctrine, a phony belief, phony gifts, when the skies are full of the real?
Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah.
He's the inexhaustible fountain of life, brother, sister. When you really get into this word, and I trust some of you, all of you, I trust all of you know what it's like when you have no condemnation at all. And you get to that realm of being in the Spirit completely engulfed. There's nothing like it. There's nowhere else to be. Don't never compromise on the Word of God. That's what Satan will take from you. He'll let you go to church. He'll let you read your Bible maybe or play the part and do your little rituals and be religious. But you know what he's going to take from you? The joy that you used to have. The peace you used to have. It's just a little innocent doctrine, but it literally will kill all the things that Christ puts in you. Don't give the devil 2 cents of your time. Give it all to God today. Let's stand together.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here.
299.
In sin, if you've compromised on the Word of God, if you've given over to this doctrine, I'm not going to ask you to lie. I'm going to ask you to confess it to Him. I'm going to ask you to tell Him that you've been wrong and that you want to be right. And you accept His pardon and grace for you. Bless you, my brothers. Bless you, sisters. Take a moment and say, Lord, I've compromised. I didn't want to. I was deceived. But Lord, I recognize it. Lord, I don't want to go down that path. I don't want to make excuses. I shouldn't have done it, Lord. But I accept your pardon and grace for me. And I accept, Lord, the responsibility that I've got to now believe you. I've got to take this word home and apply it to my house. I might feel dumb. Everybody might think you're just being a hypocrite. But Lord, I'm just going to serve you anyhow. If I've got to flip my whole life upside down, Lord, that's all right as long as you're in it. That's what I want. Hallelujah. This isn't a group thing, brother, sister. People aren't going in the rapture as a group. It's individual to individual. If you got enough faculty in your mind to understand right and wrong, you have to find yourself on the right side of the blood or you'll be left behind. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come back, children. Come back to that word with all your heart. I believe God's still calling. I believe He's still pulling our souls away from all this wickedness. Abraham tells a story. There was an earthquake that happened. Shortly before that, man began to look at their fields, and normally they would be up by the trees and by the fences, hiding underneath them and sitting in the shade. This one particular day, all of a sudden, they all stayed out in the sun. It was blistering hot, and they couldn't figure out why are they out there in that sun. Shortly after, that earthquake hit, and all them rocks fell down. Had they been there in the comforts of sin, had they went in that temporal comfort, it would have crushed them. But willing to sacrifice for the kingdom, willing to sacrifice for what they knew to be true, they went out to the field of God's word. It was hot, it was hard, it was a sacrifice. It wasn't what their flesh wanted to do, but they knew it was the only way to save their soul. Brother, sister, God's calling you away from this world. It's time to kick that TV out. It's time to kick out those things of the world. It's time to get back in that Word of God. It's time to get back into fellowship with Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him personally, but you want to, just raise your hand and say, Father, reveal yourself to me personally, that I might know you in the power of the resurrection. Oh, hallelujah. It's so hard to get people to be honest anymore. Everybody thinks you're good enough. You're not good enough. Ain't one of us good enough. He's the one that's good enough. The only way to be found in Him is to be dead in yourself. I bless you, my brothers and my sisters. God sees your hands. He knows your hearts. May He hear your prayers today. May God pour out the Holy Ghost upon every one of you.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a presence of God today. It's simple, but my, it's the power of God to salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Hallelujah. Let Him talk to you. You talk to Him His own way. This is an altar call, brother, sister. Remember, God don't want flowers on His altar. He wants you on His altar. He wants your ideas on His altar. He wants you to put Balaam's doctrine on His altar, and His fire of the Holy Ghost will come burn that up. Give me the real Word of God. Hallelujah. Don't believe the devil's lie. You can receive it today if you open up your heart. Don't hold back. That's why you don't get nowhere. Give over to God with all your heart. Say, Lord, be all my affections. Be all my love. Be all my peace. Be all my joy, my reasoning, my affection. May it all be on the Word of God and not anything of this world. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christian friends, dedicate yourself to the Lord. If you need born again, ask Him. He'll change you. That's all He's waiting on. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As I let the Holy Spirit just come through every heart that's here. Do you have a need of prayer? I still believe in praying for the sick. I believe it until it's part of the Word of God. Those that would like prayer today would like to come forward. Would you come now? Oh, hallelujah. Come in the Spirit. Come with the promise of God on your mind and on your heart. Lord, I believe it.
Hallelujah, Jesus. said two of you agree on any one thing, he'll do it. I agree. How is Jesus Christ? Amen. Yes, Lord.
Yes,
sister, you don't feel the presence of the Lord here right now. Pinch yourself. You've been too long in the things of the world and it's made you desensitized. This is the presence of the Almighty God. The one that loves you. The one that died for you. The one who knows your heart's desire. That told you to ask. I believe he knew what you'd ask today. I believe it with all my heart. Every prayer prayed here today has been given by God Almighty. I believe with all that's in me. And He doesn't come by for no reason. But He sends His word and He brings healing in His wings. He brings joy. He brings peace. He even brings conviction and repentance. But it's real repentance. It's not to destroy. It's to build you back up. Oh, my brother, my sister. We say it a lot, but it's true. It'll be the last service we ever stand together in. It'll be the last time before the door of grace will shut. That'll be all it was. Don't be hard before God. Be soft before Him. Let it move through you, my brother, my sister. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil have a place anywhere in your heart, your life. Consecrate yourself to Him for service. Oh, Jesus. This is true worship. I wouldn't trade this for $1 million. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Take time now. Have that conference with God. Have that conference with the promises of God. Weigh it out in God's word until you know that you know that God's giving you a desire today. Anything that comes contrary is a lie of the devil. You're going to hold true to that word. Don't give up on it. You're not just being emotional. The Lord Jesus Christ is here with you. Hallelujah. I'd be scared if this didn't produce emotion in people. If a man's lived wrong, he ought to be sad. If a person really weighs out someone's soul in the balance and they're standing in the gap for them, it ought to cause an emotion. If a heart's trying to get right with God, you can't shed a tear. I don't know if I believe you. Hallelujah. It's not put on. It means you mean business. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I believe this is the bride's revival, my brother. My sister. I believe this is her getting right with the Word. And if there's only so many going to be there, that's all that's going to be there. But they're going to be the Word. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I commit myself afresh and commit the church to You, each one here. That, Lord, we might not be many in number, but, Lord, we want to be willing vessels. And we come to You with open hearts and say, Father, if You can't find anyone to be a vessel for the Word, Lord, we offer ourselves to You. That, Lord, we'll be the real church. We'll be the real bride of Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost, walking in divine faith, proving to this generation that You're still alive. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for hearing our prayers today. Be glorified, each one that's here. Lord, we love You. We appreciate You. We thank You so much for hearing our prayers and loving us, having mercy on us, and Your grace never fails. Oh, we love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. We love You, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Be glorified, Lord. Be glorified in our lives. Brother, sister, I can't end the service. I believe it's for you as an individual. This is God proving to us once again that it's not a church thing. It's an individual thing. How many knows God's dealing with you even right now? Don't be ashamed. How many knows that? Need an intercessor, brother, sister. That's who He is. He is the Christ Jesus. The man, Christ Jesus, is the intercessor between God and man. He's the spirit that you feel here with you. That's who you need to weigh it out with. As Jacob, wrestle all night if you have to. But leave knowing that God promised you your inheritance.
your health, your joy, your peace, your family. That's yours. Hallelujah. Don't give anything to the devil. Don't leave a hoof behind for the promise of God. Don't compromise. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to leave this spirit just like this here. I want you to stay here until you know. Your prayer's been heard today. Till you can get that stake of faith to place down today. And anytime Satan tries to drive you, say, it's too late, Satan. The stake's been driven. And it's not moving. It was driven by the Word of God. I've hit a sure rock below this. You can bring all the storms of life you want. This house ain't moving. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, brother, sister. The Lord loves you. Oh, hallelujah. I don't say these things to cut you and destroy you. I would have been led to say this to get you delivered. Even by the temptations that come through our message, you'd be delivered from the enemy's doctrines and believe the true word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you, my brother and my sister. I'm going to let you be dismissed if you'd like. Today for sure. Please go outside when you're done. Don't talk about nothing besides praise the Lord and loving on the Lord. Stay as long as you need to today. God bless you, my brother. My sister. Thank you, Jesus.